Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Stay in. And if your eyes aren't closed, close them. I'm going to have you do a little exercise. It's something I feel like the Lord wants us to get real good at. If your spirit isn't already connected to His through worship, this is not your flesh or your mind, but your heart, your insides, you're connected. You connect to the Father in that place. Sometimes worship will do it, but sometimes you can just do it. Okay? And you want to get to the place where you can just step in anytime at will, in your spirit, not your mind, but in your spirit, because it's your spirit that is born again. It is your spirit that breathes in His air. It is the ears of your spirit that hear Him, not your outer ears. Whenever you do this, don't be in a hurry. But you can come to a place of joining with the Spirit of our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus. And the Bible describes that we are one with Him. We're one in spirit with Him. And in that place, all that He is, all that He has, all that He knows, all His knowledge, all His love, it's all yours. And that's the place to receive it. You don't receive it outside that place. You don't receive it in your head. So we have to learn to make the transfer from head knowledge to heart knowing. Knowing Him in the heart, knowing Him in the spirit. Can anybody feel the difference? Anybody sense the difference between that and a head relationship? It is your blood-bought privilege to go day or night, no matter what, into that place freely. Jesus paid for it in blood, paved the way, and He wants His kids to come there all the time. And He wants that to become your home in Him. Now I want you to imagine a little baby inside, well, we'll say inside the mama's womb. But now imagine a little toddler inside the Father. That's what in Him means. You go in Him, in the Spirit. And I think that the body of Christ in America needs to practice this more. Because this is where it's at. This is where the stuff is. This is where all the goodness of God flows all the time. He is. He said to Moses, I am. I am. I am. No matter what you're crying out for, no matter what you think you need, no matter what problem you think is facing you, I am settles it. He has it. He's already done it. He's already provided everything you will ever need. He's already done it. So the issue is that we need to learn how to come here to this place to receive it easily. Instead of fussing and fretting and even fasting and praying. Now, I am fasting and I believe in praying a lot. But praying to God, seeing Him in heaven while you're on earth is nowhere near as effective as coming into Him or into His house into his presence and just receiving what Jesus has already paid for. It is much easier. And so the thing God wants us to learn is how to do that at will. And it isn't, don't think about it like when God wants. It's he always wants it. Always. He always wants you in him. He always wants you with him. Always. You are the apple of his eye. And if you think you have behavior that's not good enough, this is where it gets fixed. So staying out won't fix it. Coming in fixes it. Because he's the only one that can fix it. We can't fix it. So coming in to live in that place, or making it your custom, it is more a thing of diligence, and to be honest, there is some discipline to disciplining your flesh and the noise in your head and the screaming need, whatever that is, and the everybody else's need. It's disciplining yourself to say, yeah, I got all that, but for this moment, for these 5, 10, 20 minutes, see ya, I'm going in him. And at first, you may find it's a little hit or miss. You know, you may, don't worry about that. The more that you practice going into the presence of God, the more it just becomes who you are and what you do. It will become as normal to you as breathing. You will have questions. That's okay. You ask him your questions. He'll teach you. He'll help you. He'll find ways to help you understand. This, you know, there are some churches that would think this is bad that I'm teaching this. But do you know that in the Old Testament, they found it necessary to have a school of the prophets? And it wasn't just a Bible school. Bible school is awesome. And I went to Bible school, and I loved it. But Bible school did not teach me the prophetic or living in him. It did not teach me the things of his world. It did not teach me to know him. It taught me about him. Okay? Now, don't get me wrong. I love the Word of God, and I learn more about him every day through the Word. Every day. I love the Word. I love it. But I love when we are one and he's speaking me the word. He's speaking to me scriptures, or he's speaking to me his heart, or he's showing me what his eyes are seeing. God wants to take us to places and show us how things work, and even why certain things didn't work. Have you ever had something in your life that didn't work and you couldn't reconcile why it went the way it did, and you've just put it in the, oh well, I don't know what happened there. Maybe you even felt like, why didn't God come through for me? Or I thought the promises said this, but what happened there? Do you know that God will take you on a journey? He doesn't mind those questions. He doesn't like rebellion. So we never ask in rebellion, but an honest question of the heart, he always loves. He's never challenged by that. He'll take you on a journey of heaven. He'll take you into his heart, his world. What dad would, what good father would not teach his son or his daughter? I remember when I was a little girl, my dad loved to build things, and he was brilliant. My dad was an engineer, and he was a brilliant man. But it didn't matter what he was building. It was always complex, you know. And it didn't matter how little I was or how big I was. If I went out and said, what you doing? He would let me hold the saw or teach me how to do something. He would show me how you do it. What good father would not take you into his own study or his own place of building things? Did you know that there's control rooms in heaven? I say rooms because at first I just thought there was one because he showed me one. And it was a place where he wants his kids to come in the spirit and speak his words into the earth, and it changes things in the earth. That's what prayer really is. That's what it was intended to be. Prayer was intended to be his children speaking his will in the earth. He needs your mouth. He needs my mouth. He wants us to speak. But we speak all kinds of things, don't we? But what he's looking for is someone to so join with him that he can teach them the ways. How can we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Now see, the way we see that sometimes in our flesh is we see, here I am on earth. I don't really know how it is in heaven, but you know, make it that way here, God, because you told me to pray that, so I don't really get it, but I'm praying it. That's not the way to pray it. The best way to pray it, the better way, I'll say, is to fellowship with him in this place I'm talking about, where you become so close that he teaches you how things are in heaven. And you say, oh, that's what that scripture meant, and that's what that scripture meant. Many times I read scriptures, and I don't really get it until I hang out with the Father. And then suddenly I just know, oh, that's okay, that's what that means. And then he'll have me speak out loud into the earth that thing. And it can be amazingly miraculous. I started doing this before I understood the concept. I was in my late 20s. I had been healed by someone, a total stranger, giving me a word of knowledge. Okay, total stranger. She didn't know me. She'd never seen me before. But she had a specific word of knowledge that I had fallen off a horse and I had back problems. That had happened years before. Nobody knew that I still had a problem from it. Not even my parents. Nobody. Nobody on face earth, of the face of the earth, knew that I had a problem. And this stranger from Indiana said, is there something wrong with your back? And I thought, nah. She said, did you fall off a horse when you were a kid? And I thought, uh-oh. Okay. So that's called God's fingerprints. You know God's fingerprints are on that. No one could know that. She said, can I pray for you? Yes. And she didn't even pray. You know what she did? She put her hand on my shoulder and said, Jesus. And my back was completely healed. Like set straight after being completely, like it had fractured. When I fell off the horse, it fractured. And my tailbone was 2 inches off to the right. And from that day, it was smack in the center. It was completely healed. I was reading in the Bible, and I came across the gifts of the Spirit. And I saw the one called Word of Knowledge, and it dawned on me that was a Word of Knowledge. I didn't know, I'd never heard a teaching on it. And I said, Lord, see, I didn't know back then that God wants all his kids to operate in all the gifts. He loves that, okay? But I didn't know that, so I prayed it this way. I said, Lord, if it's okay with you, I would like to help people the way that lady helped me. And not long after that, a couple of weeks, it was New Year's Eve. I was with my friend. My friend was a Pentecostal, and I was brand new in the faith. I didn't know anything about that. I'd never laid hands on anybody, you know. And she'd been diagnosed with lupus, and they weren't really helping her. They didn't have much to help her. And we were sitting at her table, and she said, I feel like I'm supposed to pray for you. And I said, go ahead. She prayed in tongues, and I saw a picture of two hands like this on someone's back. And I was so ignorant that I didn't know it was a word of knowledge for me to put my hands on her back. So God had to show me 3 times, and then I went, oh. I said, Penny, would it be okay if I laid hands on you? I'm thinking, oh, because I'd never done that, and that was a, ooh, you know, I'd never laid hands. I thought she would think it was weird. They were in a Pentecostal church. They knocked each other all the time. She said, oh, yeah, sure. So I go around, I put my hands in that spot, and I see another picture. I did that. I see a third picture, and I did that, and I saw something like, not literal, but like the shadow of an owl go and fly away. And she was 100% healed. So here's the principle I didn't understand. The principle is, you've gone into the Spirit just enough to see or hear or know what God wants to do in the earth. But for reasons I won't go into, he wants humans and requires humans to do it. He doesn't even really commission angels to do it. He wants a human to speak it in the earth because he gave the earth to humans. And all the problems that we have are because humans have caused problems, right? The problems in the church are because of we are the church and we have problems. So getting the solution to thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven is really getting into his presence enough to see, hear, and understand what heaven is doing and saying in a situation and speaking that into the earth. Now, the reason I say sometimes that's instant and miraculous is for several years, that was the only ministry I did. I would, the minute I got next to somebody, I would know their disease. You know, if they were 10 feet away, I might not know it. Sometimes I would know there was something I was supposed to pray for. But the closer they stood to me, suddenly I knew all kinds of stuff about them that God wanted always to help them, never to judge them. Never, ever, ever, ever to judge them, but to help them. And so God would tell me their disease or that they were having problems at home or whatever the thing was. And I would just, you know, I was so shy. I would just say, excuse me, but are you having a problem with that? And they'd say, yes, I am. Well, immediately they're like fingerprints off God, you know, because I couldn't have known it. And I would say, may I pray for you? Yes. And I pray a simple prayer. And I saw miraculous healings. And I knew it wasn't my faith because I didn't even know they had a problem. I wasn't like, oh, Lord, I believe you for this. It was like, oh, okay, you told me, therefore you're doing something. You just need a little gateway, you know, a little person that will, it doesn't matter who it is. It's not that certain people are specially gifted either. God just wants somebody who's tapped in. So that little exercise that I made you do might have been really weird because the church doesn't do that, right? And some churches would frown on that. But how will we connect to God if we don't understand his world? Or how will we know how things work in heaven if we don't spend time there? And how will we spend time there if we don't learn how to discipline our flesh and come to know the difference between your soul and your spirit, or your head and your spirit, right? How will we know? Right? Because most people hear from their head and think it's a prophecy and they prophesy it and it hurts people. And most people aren't trying to hurt people, but they're saying what they think because, well, this happened to them last year and, you know, they've got some answer. And then people come away all confused, but it wasn't a prophecy. They were what the Bible calls prophesying from their own soul because they don't know the difference, okay? Now, there are some people who do it on purpose and don't care, and I'm not talking about them. They're a different matter. And the Bible says if you prophesy from your own soul in the Old Testament, you get stoned. So don't do that. Because it hurts people, and it's confusing to people. But if you can discern, and you know what the Bible says? By reason of use, we learn to discern good from evil. By reason of use. Not one use, but use and use and use and use and use and use. That's how the gifts are developed. That's how the things of the Spirit are developed. It's like a muscle you have to exercise. And a lot of you, some of you, exercise your mental muscles and you're in the Word, which is awesome. Some of you also exercise your spiritual muscles, but some of you don't. I'm not saying this from a critical place. This is just an observation that I've seen over the years. A lot of the failures that happen in Christian lives and in Christian churches is because we've tried to do Christianity out of what made sense to us. Christianity does not make sense to us. The way God does things in heaven cannot be carnally understood or earthly understood. It can't be. Things of the Spirit can't be carnally understood. That's what it said, right? In fact, it says to be carnally minded is death. And it's not talking about having a dirty mind. It's talking about having a carnal, earthly thinking that overrides every time God says something. You say, well, that couldn't be God because blah, 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 blah. And you haven't learned to tell your brain to be quiet when God is speaking. Shut up. Because next to God, you know nothing. I know nothing. Nothing next to God. So we have to learn how to discipline to understand the difference between soul and spirit and discipline our flesh. Say, no, flesh, you don't get to go do that now. Now I'm going to go sit with the Lord. And now, so you go sit in your prayer chair and your mind goes down the road, you know, into something that happened yesterday. You say, no, come back. We're going to sit with the Lord. And it happens. It happens to everybody. That's quite normal. Don't worry about that. Discipline is you just keep doing it. You just keep doing it. You just keep doing it. And eventually, I don't know, some all of a sudden one day you realize he's just pulled you into the Spirit and you didn't even realize when it happened. It becomes such a normal way of life. When God was teaching me how to hear his voice, I had a lot of questions. I was asking a lot of questions about why do I hear your voice sometimes and not other times, and I just didn't understand. And so he had to teach me the ABCs. But this is one thing he told me. He said, when you're in prayer, and a lot of times, I'll be honest, I pray in tongues a lot. I pray in tongues, I pray in the Spirit. I also pray in English. I pray with my understanding as well. Sometimes when I'm praying in tongues, I'll have a sense of, oh, there's this sentence hanging there that God wants me to proclaim. And there are other times when he's telling me something and he doesn't want it said out loud because he doesn't want the devil to know. Okay? It's more of a sense that gets developed. But this is what he said to me. He said, now when I tell you something, I want you to say it out loud. Like when we're just in conversation, like sometimes I would ask him a question, he would teach me, usually through the word. He'd say, I want you to say it out loud. I said, even when we're alone? Yeah, he says, even when we're alone. He said, and I want you to do that and do it and do it and do it and do it until it becomes as normal to you as breathing. It's what you do. Well, I didn't know it, but he was teaching me how to preach. That's how I learned to preach. Just to say what he says, and say what he says, and say what he says. Get a picture, here's the picture. Get a memory, here's the story. And that's exactly how you preach. That's all you do. That's all it is. So, he said that to me, and he said another thing. He said, I want you to get so good at speaking what I'm speaking that you can do it in front of the President of the United States or the gang on the street. Like nothing would intimidate you because this is what you do. Well, over the years, this was many years ago, I was probably in my 30s, I'll guess, when he taught me that. And so I had a lot of learning to do. And so I spent many years just doing, just me and him talking, whatever he said, I would say it. Do people think you're talking to yourself? Yes. Do people think you're weird? Yes. Do I care? No. Because it gave me something that's such a heavenly treasure, I wouldn't trade it for millions of dollars. Because what happens is, it's like the door swings open and gets stuck open. Where you're in the Spirit all the time, you don't even know you're in the Spirit all the time. Where you're talking to God and he's talking to you all the time, all the time, all the time. And that is your new normal, okay? Now, I know this might be bizarre, and people might go out here and say, she's nuts, you know. But here's the thing. I have found the secret to life. This is the secret of all joy, all peace, all victory, all healing, all love, all compassion, all the gifts, all the fruits, how to do anything, how to win any battle, anytime, any place, anywhere. This is the key. And so, of course, the enemy wants to shut it down, but the key was never having a lot of knowledge about God and doing it in your flesh for him. That has never been the key. That has never worked. And I think as a global church, we've proven that. I think we've proven that. Over and over and over again. I'm not condemning anybody, but that way doesn't work. And so God, he kind of went into this. Jesus even said it. You've heard me say it. Jesus even said it about himself. The Son of Man can do nothing of himself. He only does what he sees his Father in heaven doing. Jesus was doing something they call bilocation, meaning he's in two places at once. He had a continual awareness because he was so good at it. He was 30 before he entered the ministry. He spent some years hanging out with God in the Spirit. He knew his Father. His Father mentored him in how to be the Son of God because no human could. I almost said human, you know, all those cat jokes, human. No human knew how to mentor Jesus, how to be the Son of God. Here's how you do it, Jesus. Nobody could come to him and say, okay, it's not really saving us from Rome. Nope, it's not really that. You're going to die on a cross. No human could give him that. They didn't know. But he was mentored by his own Father in heaven through this heavenly uniting of the Spirit. See, he said, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but he does what he sees his Father in heaven doing. He was hanging out with God. God was showing him. God was teaching him. And believe it or not, he could see in the Spirit at the same time as he could see in the flesh. Same time. So he was aware of both places. Now, everyone's called to different things. But what I want to say is this. God would like to teach you, you and me and all of us, how to live in his world where that becomes home. You know, the Bible is clear. This is not supposed to be our home. This is not where we're supposed to be comfortable. And, oh, if I had this situation fixed, then I'd be happy. And if I got that degree or if I fulfilled that calling on the earth, you know, then I would be happy. You know, honestly, none of those things really fulfill because there's only one thing that does. There's only one place that's home, and it's him. He's home. He's fulfillment. He is utter and complete satisfaction. It defies words. I was walking around a lake one time, and it was like time stopped. And for a moment, my body was saturated with the most complete fulfillment and satisfaction. It was amazing. It was what I imagine heaven will feel like. It was complete fulfillment, utterly satisfied. It was. I mean, I love joy. I have a well of joy. That's awesome. But this was almost as good or better because it was such a complete fulfillment, as though you'd won every race, completed every assignment, you'd done everything you were supposed to have done, even though I hadn't done any. And yet this deeply satisfying fulfillment, it defies description, but it belongs to us. Jesus paid for you and me to have everything in heaven. Everything. He paid for it. And it is a great tragedy and crime that because we haven't understood that as a church, as a people, as Christians, we haven't understood it, we've stood on the outside and begged and cried and whined and pleaded and hoped and wished and felt disappointed because we tried to make God do what he really already has done. We tried to make him give us what he already has given us instead of learning how to step inside him and say, I'm receiving that. That's mine. I'll take that. And by the way, it's not mine because I did anything right, because I didn't. It's not mine because I deserve it, because I don't. It's mine because Jesus purchased it. And the moment I got born again, the moment you got born again, if you're not born again, you need to be. To encounter heaven. You need to be born again to know Jesus. Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. Forget it. But if you're born again, the second you were, it's like Jesus took that entire transaction, all the promises, all of them, and said, oh, your name, here it is, right here, in the Lamb's Book of Life. And joint heir with Jesus. Everything he inherits, everything he purchased, with his blood, everything, yours. So can you see why it flies in the face of heaven for us to act like we are not healed or haven't received or God doesn't care? Or I'm too bad? Of course you're too bad. That's why he died. I can't go in. I'm not worthy. You never were. Guess what? Join the club. There's only ever been one in all of history. Past, present, and future. There's only ever been one person worthy. Only one. None of us are worthy. We don't go in because we're worthy. So if you're looking at your behavior saying, I just don't think God wants me there, you're nuts. He wants you there. He's in love with you. He died for you so you can come there. He died so you can come. He died to pave the way so you can come. You know, when we were up at that retreat, God was giving me this very strong prophetic word. And I heard myself saying something like this. If you're afraid to go into the Holy of Holies, you know, the way has been paved in his blood. the path. It says go in by a new and living way, by the blood of Jesus. And if you don't think you're good enough, and you're looking like, oh, I don't know if I can go in, just look down at your feet, because you'll see his blood. And I heard myself saying that prophetically, which means it wasn't me, it was him. What I'm trying to say is, God, in this day, I think there's a big rift coming in the earth. I don't understand the fullness of it, but we're entering times where we are called to walk as he did. And I have a feeling if we don't do it, life will be hard. I think that the day is over where we'll be able to pretend to be good and wear our mask and do stuff for what people think. I'm just calling it like it is. There's still a lot of those spirits in the church, and people are bound by them. You know, they want to be used of God so they'll feel validated. They want to preach so the, you know, whatever, the pastor will think they're okay. They're, you know, I could go into all kinds of stuff right here. Sometimes if you grew up and your dad wasn't kind, or you didn't have a father, or you never were fathered, sometimes you come in the church and you look at the pastor like, maybe he'll approve me. I'm talking to somebody. Maybe he'll be the dad I never was. Maybe he'll be kind. Maybe he'll give me that stamp of approval. So you start acting crazy, trying to, you know. It's called a man-pleasing spirit. Needing the approval of man. It's a spirit. It's a foul spirit. And it binds God's people. And God wants his people free. See, God wants you not to live for what people think. In fact, that was one of his issues with the Pharisees. They didn't care what God thought. They cared what people thought. And that bugged him. He didn't mind people being a mess. He could help with that. He was always gentle and sweet and kind with people who were a mess and a wreck and even stupid. But the Pharisees, he would call to account. Because they didn't care what God thought. They cared what people thought. And they paraded this mask around for man-pleasing. Pew. Now you've made man your God. Pew. And so God is trying to raise up a people, and I feel like we've crossed some kind of timeline. When we came into the year, I feel like we crossed a timeline. It's not that God loves his people less, he still loves them. But there, he has been saying, beckoning, wooing, saying for years and years and years for people to come over and get in this place. And some have said, I want to, but I don't know how. That is fine, I'll help you. He's saying, I'll help you. If your heart is that you want him, it's, remember, God judges the heart, not the outward manifestation. But there are some people who said, I don't want that. I'm still going to go to church. I'm still going to wear my mask. I'm still going to, you know, bleh for show. Bleh. And I'm sure we've all been guilty of it one time or another, but there's a lifestyle of people who have defined Christianity according to their terms. It doesn't work. It never did. But what I'm sensing is that God's hand has come down and said, we're moving on from there. And I've waited for a long time for my church, and I've taught them, and I've wooed them all over the world, not just talking about our little camp, all over the world. But to those who won't, life will be hard for them. It'll be hard because they won't be able to move in the Spirit. Just think about how it was in the book of Acts. If you haven't read the book of Acts lately, read the book of Acts. You know, here's Philip. You know, he was the helps committee, right? And the Holy Ghost tells him, you know, go down the road south, you know, from Jerusalem to Gaza, go down that way. And he bumps into the Ethiopian eunuch, so it's this divine connection. The guy's reading the book of Isaiah and looking for help. Philip witnesses to him, he gets saved, he gets baptized, and poof. He must have thought Philip was an angel because Philip physically disappears and is found at Azotus, miles down the road. This was normal. Yeah. Normal Christianity. So let's say they're ready to arrest you because you're a Christian and that's not okay anymore. And you suddenly go, poof. You know, and you're found in Champaign, Urbana. We don't know. But I'm telling you, in this day, we need to live a life where we become children of his presence. Relationship works. Religion does not. Relationship is what works. And whenever you're struggling or frustrated or feeling like you're failing or feeling like, why doesn't this prayer get answered, or why, there's a reason. And God's not mad. He's not judging you. But it's okay to come to God with an open heart and say, can you help me to see? Because a lot of times the issue is us. Hallelujah. Very thrilling when he says that. At least in my case, it's usually me. It's never him. He's never done anything wrong in all of history. This is something I like to say. All his judgments are correct. That's what the Bible says. He's never made a mistake in all of history. I mean, so if there's a problem, it's me, or it might be the devil, or it might be another human, but it's not him, right? And so we have to come to terms with that and be able to come as children. Say, Father, through relationship. You know what a lot of people do? They say, well, this is what a lot of people do. Well, you know, that preacher so-and-so says this, ABC times two, and then this preacher says this. What do you think, Holly? Well, first of all, why are you asking me what I think? What does God think? Because he's the only one who knows. Because this formula might work in that situation, and that formula might work in that one, but only God can tell you what your situation is. Only God. Nobody can tell you that. So if you're asking, going around asking people what they would have done, best two out of three, it doesn't work. Because people don't know. Now, if you're asking them to pray in here because you can't yet, that's okay, but hopefully you'll grow into having the courage to get it from God. God will, what God has done for one, he will do for all. What God has done for one, he will do for all. There's nobody, he is not a respecter of persons. So anything he's done for me or anyone else, he will do for you. But there's a concept called, like, if you want to do what Jesus did, you have to do what he did. You know, well, I want to do all the stuff you do, but, you know, I really don't have a lot of time, so can you call me in like 20 minutes, give me the download? A, no. B, go to the website and listen to 40 years of stuff. C, spend time with God. He wants to help you and he wants to teach you. And I'm not trying to be mean, I'm just saying there are people who think it's like this push-button thing, and you know what? This is what I think. God gives it to those who care enough to put him first. And a lot of times we say he's first, but he's not first. Well, now you're just in my underwear drawer. Sometimes we say he's first, but on the time docket, he's last. In the priority list, he's last. Or, yeah, I'll do it tomorrow. But tomorrow, 3 months later, tomorrow hasn't come. And I've done it. We've all done it. We've all had seasons where we probably weren't great about it. But if that's you, fess up. Just be honest with yourself at least. God will give everything to somebody that will give everything to him, including their time, and most of all, their attention. Can you imagine the master of the universe? First of all, let's just imagine this. What if God were mean? Man, we'd be fried. Well, let me not speak for you. I would be fried. I'd have been fried years ago. Fried. If God were not long suffering, great in mercy, I wouldn't be. I'd be dead many times over. So now here we have the master of the universe, genius of geniuses, knows everything, sees everything, has everything, and wait, is willing to give everything, and paid his own life so he could give you everything. But you're kind of too busy. Like, just dump it on my plate, you know, just drop it off, God. I don't think so. He paid a horrific price to deliver the goods. I personally think we have to pay a bit of a price to receive the goods. Is that too tough?
No,
that's right. I think that if we pay the price, and I actually believe it's proportional, I think that the more time you spend seeking him, the more focus you give him, the more attention you put on him, the more you get rid of the idols, get rid of the junk. Get rid of that boyfriend that you know darn good and well is not God's pick for you and is trying to lead you into sin. Okay, my eyes are shut, not looking at anybody. Get rid of him. Dump him. You say, oh, God, I just want to hear another word from you. You just did. You've already known it. You've known it for a long time. You've ignored it. I'm telling you now, bless him and dump him. But what if he gets saved and then we'll get married and live happy? No, you won't. No, you won't. No, trust me, you won't. God has something better, but you won't find it flitting around. You'll find it when you go hang out with your father. He'll say, I got something for you. Been hiding him a long time. Been waiting for you to get a clue who's God around here and who's not. So here we are. God has offered us. I think we will be embarrassed in heaven if we haven't at least attempted to spend some time receiving what he died for us to have. How could we ignore, what does the Bible say, so great? How could we neglect so great a salvation? We're busy with the things of the world, busy with all these worries and stuff. Some of you are worried about things that God would fix in 2 seconds. Two. One. There's stuff we could fret about for months and even so-called pray about and cry about and talk to our friends about and whine about for months on end. Years. I've seen it. And go in the presence and in 1 second just, whew, oh, okay. That's the answer. Okay? I'm not saying this to be condemning or judgmental. This is like a huge invitation to every believer. It doesn't matter the greatest of the least. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you're called to do. It doesn't matter if you don't think well of yourself or if you don't feel like, well, maybe it doesn't mean me. Maybe I'm, oh, that's just for specially called people. No, it's not. God loves his children much more than we've realized. He loves his kids with a passion. You know, when Lori and John bring that baby, you know, it's hard to focus on anything else. It's hard to look at anything else. She's just so cute. Do you know that when you show up in heaven, that's how God sees you? That's my kid. And you say, but I'm not. I've got these problems. You know, I still smoke, or I still listen to a bad word, or I still, whatever. You know what? I get it. But let me tell you something. God sets you free in that place. I don't know about you, I wish I'd have been made perfect when I was born again, but I still had some problems. And I fought and I tried and I had habits, I tried to break them, I tried and tried and tried and tried and tried and tried and tried. I loved God with all my heart. And I finally said, you know what? I am a complete failure at this. I am a flop at this. I have tried everything I know. I tried warfare, yelling at the devil. I've fasted, I've prayed. I've danced, I've worshipped, I've done everything, every program that they've given me, I have done. I did everything I knew to do, and I couldn't get free. And I said, you know what? I'm going to believe you to get me free. I'm coming boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, because I'm a mess, and find grace to help in time of need. So I'm just going to keep coming here every day, and I'm going to believe you to set me free. And he did. He did. It took a little while. And how I got free was he gave me a drop, like a little, it's like he took an eyedropper and dropped a little drop of truth, and it went bing. Within 30 seconds, I was free forever. Free forever. Only God. So if you're still condemning yourself, listen, God will heal you. God will deliver you. God will set you free. He'll help you. He will. He loves you. But he can't help you if you remain outside. You know, because you think you're so bad or whatever the deal is. He can't help you when you're running away. You know, there's runners in here. Anybody gets too close to the real you, you run. You know, God knows the real you and loves you. He knows the real you and he loves you. And he will help you. He will help you with anything. So I feel like there's just this invitation. And I actually feel like I'm done. So I don't know if this was long or short. It felt short, but I feel like I'm done with this part of it. Do you have something, Lori? Okay. I'm just going to wait on God for a minute. I feel like God is releasing somebody from a stronghold. It looked like a very strong hold that has been on you, and you have cried out because you do want to be free. You've asked God and you haven't known how to get free, but I feel like in the spirit right now he's setting you free. And it has to do with your past. It has to do with some things you lived through and it left its marks on you. But I actually see it just coming off and leaving right now, and you're being released. Your heart is being released, and your memory bank, your soulish realm, your memory bank is being released from some of the things that happened to you, you know, because that can be crippling. I saw someone's heart and your heart, the emotional side of you, you've taken some hits over the years, and it had to do with words that people said that you haven't been able to forget. Words that were kind of demeaning or unkind or tried to bring you down a level, the words tried to. And it's been hard for you to forget the impact. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I break the effects of those words off your soul, off your memory bank, and off your heart. And I speak new life to you. And what God says to you is, I've never said those things about you. And that is not how I see you. And I see you the way I created you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And you have yet to discover all the things that I put in you that are glorious. And Satan tried to use those things to stop you from coming into the fullness of your real identity. But I'm walking you out of your old identity, and I'm walking you into your new identity. And I saw a person coming into the presence, and the Lord actually, it looked like an angel, giving them a drink. And it was a drink that brought life to your soul. You know, he said that he restores your soul. And that is a big deal. There's a lot of people, even in who've been in God a long time, their soul is chipped and broken and fractured and hurt. But he restores your soul. He makes whole. And so I see him giving this like drink of truth and refreshing pure water. And I actually feel like that's for more than one person, that he is restoring your soul. And where your heart or your soul was fractured or broken, he is actually putting things back together again for you in a way that you couldn't, and in a way a therapist couldn't. There's someone in here, you've gone to a therapist, and bless them. You know, hallelujah, I have heard of some good Christian ones that do people good. I'm not disrespecting them, but I've also seen people that have gone for, I prayed with someone who has gone, I think, like 9 years and paid all this money and still struggling. And I said, well, no offense, but I think I can help you here. Not me, but him. And in one session, boom, he unlocked it. The Holy Ghost, not me, the Holy Ghost. Jesus did it. But what I'm trying to say to you, it's not wrong to go to a therapist, but you have a better therapist in heaven. He knows your heart. He knows your wound, and he does care. He doesn't judge you when you're wounded. Remember, he wrote the story of the Good Samaritan who tended to this poor soul that had been beat up, left for dead. You know, that was me once. Beat up so bad, couldn't get up. Left for dead. But Jesus Christ comes and he brings the oil and the wine and he ministers to every broken heart. He doesn't judge. He picks up and he carries. Right? Brings you to a place. Pays your way. Says, I'm going to pass back by this way. If there's anything more needed, I'll pay that too. That's Jesus. That was me. That was me. I was dead. I was a goner. But Jesus, he raises the dead. And he doesn't do it partway. He heals every broken thing on the inside. The ones that people don't see and you don't talk about and you don't tell people about. Even those. He has a way of just, when the time is right, he knows what you can handle and when. So don't, it doesn't happen in a second, but he knows how to heal his children. There's a lot of healing going on in the room right now. Some of you have never been able to believe that Jesus cares because you never felt like anybody has cared for you. And that's the message you got from people in your life, is you didn't feel like they cared. But I see Jesus. I see you laying on the road, and I see Jesus bending over. He got down on his knees, bending over you, tending to you. Jesus cares when it seems like nobody cares. Jesus cares about you. And not just that he cares about you, he cares about your every little thing, every little broken place, every little wound. He said, there's someone in here you have, I heard, hearing loss. And I'm not entirely sure if it's physical or in the spirit, but there's been hearing loss, and he's restoring all hearing. He's restoring hearing. He's restoring vision. There was someone here, you had a dream. You had a big dream to do something for God, but you got clobbered, and so you decided maybe it wasn't God, and you just kind of, you know, it hurt. It hurt a lot, and there were disappointments, and you kind of put the dream on the shelf and said, well, maybe that wasn't God. And I saw the Lord reach up to that shelf and pull it off and whew, blow the dust off, wipe it off, get it ready. He said, it's not that that dream wasn't for me. It's that you had to be prepared. You had to be prepared to carry it. You know, dreams can be, they can be large. And we have to be, we have to be made more in his image to carry them properly. So I feel like he's taking some dreams off the shelves and he's putting them back in your hands. But you won't do it alone. You can't. But at least you know that now. And he won't do it without you, because it's your dream. It's his dream for you. So how it'll happen is he and you together, in relationship, he and you together will build that building, okay? He and you together will speak that dream into the earth. He and you together will build the thing that he wants to build. He's your co-laborer. You've already shown that you couldn't do it without him. He won't do it without you because it's your calling. Okay? So he's restoring some things. And with it, I saw increased vision. You know, as we grow in the Lord, our vision increases. As we grow in the Lord, our level in the Spirit increases. And we understand more than we did 2 years ago. And that's not a one-time thing. That is a forever continuing pattern in the Lord. Because we're growing up in all things into him. Amen. I see someone's internal organs being healed and set right. And it's in the belly area, but it's not the belly. And I saw even the valves and the connections being corrected and perfected. I see the flow of God going through it and perfecting even the flow in which the body is supposed to work. Thank you, Jesus. Someone has had problems with their thinking, and you've wondered, is there something wrong with me? But I just saw Jesus, just touch your mind, your brain and your mind, and he's healing that. There's someone, you have memory, you have, there's something with your memory that's being healed in a very good way. Your memory's being healed. And with that, he's saying also your memories are being healed. So like two ways, a person that was losing memory is healed, but a person who has memories that they wish would go away, those are being healed as well. Okay. Hallelujah, I think I'm done.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.